When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Son, don't be home too late.
Da 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 da.
Try to get my heartache. Son, don't wait till the break of day, for you know how time fades away. Time fades away. You know how time fades away.
Five o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, everyone. That's Time Fades Away by Neil Young and the Stray Gators. Russ Mann singing along, and this is the Long May You Young podcast, waiting for Mike Shue to settle in. It's just about 40 minutes past 4:20, so he's probably well in the throes of a nice bake.
Well in the throes of a nice bake.
Are you going to do this the whole time? Because if you are, I'm leaving.
You're not. You can't leave this monthly podcast that we do once a month now.
This is our Neil Young podcast, where we mostly talk out of our ass while going through the works of Mr. Young. It's Mike Shue and the Condon Boys, Trans and Harvest and Linois. We're gonna sit and
welcome to Long May You Young. Mike, sorry, I'm doing the intro here because I wanted to start with something I think you guys will appreciate. We have a policy here. If you leave us a 5-star review, we'll read it. We have 3 new ones, okay? And I'm going to start with a few that are good. So here's a 5-star review from Jonathan D. Neal. I may have already read this one. I apologize if I have, but it says, Ragged Glory in a podcast. Like an extended Neil Young and Crazy Horse jam, this podcast is interminably long, discordant, messy, loud, self-indulgent, gaff-prone, heavy influenced by booze and weed, and tending to veer off in tangential loops. But like the best of NYCH, it's so true, real, and full of love, passion, emotional resonance, and a reverence for our crazy Uncle Neil. I love this podcast. Each epic marathon episode is so satisfying to listen to, and the guys who host it are so genuine, engaging, fun, and amusing, especially when they do their Neil impression. It kills me every time. I love hearing them talk about albums and songs that have deeply affected me in my life. This podcast is a blast. Thank you, gentlemen. That's from Jonathan D. Neal. Thanks, Jonathan.
Right on.
Thanks, John. We take this podcast very seriously, and you know, you describe it like it's just some kind of debauched friggin' thing.
Oh, Mike, there's 3 reviews, and they're gonna get you're gonna get progressively more mad.
Okay.
This next one's a good one too.
He's up on the booze and drugs, boys. The Pantheon people are gonna get pissed.
This next one is also titled Ragged.
Shoot, this is not a video podcast, buddy.
This is coming.
Thanks, Russ.
This is coming from Great Britain.
What if we did do this video?
I have all the videos saved. I'll do something with them eventually. You know, when we do the Long May You Young
Archives.
Hey,
John, take that passion and shove it up your ass.
In 50 years, when we do the Long May You Young Archives, we'll do the videos of these.
Long May You Young Archives.
Archives.
Christ.
They'll just keep going. Our kids will release them.
This is from BetStar12345. This is from Great Britain. Rest in peace, the Queen. he didn't write that.
Sure.
I just said that. Stumbled across this and now working through from the start after listening to the Freedom episode with Patterson Hood, which is great. This will always be my favorite Neil Young album, as it was the first I bought at the time of release and means such a lot. Many of the early records are unfamiliar, and the pod has helped suggest which ones to look into. Some of the episodes are long with significant extraneous chatter. the extent seeming to be largely alcohol fueled, but this mostly adds to the charm. Love the skits and the jacket voice, obviously. So, you guys noticing a theme yet?
Yeah. We're alcoholics, and this is an intervention. Is that what this
voice
is?
Ooh, my jacket's a little off today.
All right, this next one.
We do a lot of voices here.
Is titled "Long May You Run Straight to This Podcast." I think that might be a typo when I read.
That's
this
a dad joke.
I think also
I'm kind of here for it.
I think they meant to write "Long May You Run Straight Away from This Podcast." When I read this, this is from 100% Fun Girl.
okay.
Luke, you're being a little
did she give herself that name or did someone else? No,
they gave themselves that name.
Okay.
They write, "Nice podcast if you don't wish to hear anything about Neil Young. They talk about themselves and other artists 99.9% of the time with great insight. Maybe once in a while you'll hear them bring up Neil Young, but you've got to listen to hours of them going on and on about themselves first. Yeah, kind of enhances it for me too. 100% false advertising. 0.01% Neil content. For this reason, I'd advise you to look right here if you want a good music podcast. Avoid Rock's Back Pages with noted music critic and author Barney Hoskins, aka Barney Fife. Instead, they actually talk about music, not themselves, for an hour. What an astoundingly pedantic yet simple to grasp concept. No wonder Mike Who and the Condon Brothers have been able to avoid it. Too busy talking about themselves, I guess. They say they love Neil Young. What they love is to hear themselves talking about themselves. Go nice. Listen.
Wasn't that written a while ago?
It's very familiar.
It sounds very familiar.
But we weren't.
Can I tell you guys something that happened to me earlier?
Well, can we finish this thought for fuck's sake?
That's what I was doing.
100% Fun Girl is going to be fucking pissed, Russ.
So you know what I think?
All right, that's 0% fun. That's 0.0001% fun.
So I think all right, Russ. This, but only gave us
so
one
fucking
star.
Just shut up. All right, because I'm talking about myself. It's my turn.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry, Luke. Go ahead. Talk about yourself.
That's all right. Well, I think what happened is they did write a similar thing to this, but only gave us a 1-star review, thinking maybe we didn't read it, even though we did, because we will read any review. There is one I didn't read because it was 2-star, and you either got to go balls to the wall or just give us a 1-star. I'm not going to read a 2-star review. Sorry.
it's not like that person's listening anyways.
Yeah, so there was one from like 2 years ago that started with "nice podcast if you don't want to hear anything about Neil Young," but it's from someone else.
Was that 100% Fun Girl, or was she just 50% Fun Girl a couple of years ago?
So, no, that was from Jay Carruth 19. So it could be the same person, changed the name.
Like, maybe they transitioned. Like, congratulations, Jay.
For example, I'll read a 1-star review. This is from September of 2020, 2 years ago. This is from me in Mitaka. In Japan, a very short 1-star review says mainly profane drivel. Disappointing.
Nice.
That's going to be the next podcast. Mainly profane drivel. It's going to be a podcast about people listening to podcasts in Japan.
You know what, Shu? I think it should be the book on this podcast.
Mike, I think that should be the title of the book. Mm. It should be the title of Mike's autobiography.
Mainly inane drivel.
Mainly profane drivel. Disappointing.
Disappointing. In parentheses. Yeah.
My dad said the same thing.
Oh, now I feel bad.
All right. Well, let's talk about Neil Young.
This is a song about an inspiring young folk singer. So try to make good in Hollywood. Don't be denied.
Welcome to Long May You Young, one of two. Is Joel still doing Don't Be Denied up in Quebec?
I think so.
Do we know?
I don't know.
Anyway, we're one of two. We're the only one in English and the only one that 100% Fun Girl can orgasm to. So thank you very much for listening to the podcast. My name is Mike Hu. These are the Condon brothers, Luke and Russ from the band Town Meeting, who we'll talk about at length before we get to Neil Young.
Yes.
So thank you very much for tuning in. We're part of the Pantheon Podcast Network. You can follow us on social media at Long May You Young on Twitter and also Instagram. And there is a Facebook page also, if you would like to, instead of leave a 5-star review, leave some reviews there. Those are always fun to get into. Today, we're going to tackle one of the performance series releases, Tuscaloosa, which was released in 2019. And it's from 1973. Kind of covered that era with Time Fades Away. You guys can remember back that far. Mm. Any first takes on this or?
This album?
No, no. Let's talk about something else.
Sorry. Listen, Mike, it's a month between. I'm a little rusty.
Okay.
No pun intended. Here's my first thought. I like it a lot. I know that weird sigh before says that I shouldn't. I think the album cover is deceiving. You see the album cover. You see Neil, in 70s Neil, long hair Neil, fucking losing his shit on stage. And I kind of imagined the whole album would be kind of wild, and it starts fairly slow, but then once you hit Time Fades Away, it really gets me. And then when I listened to it a couple more times, I appreciated the other ones, like the versions of them, for what they are. So I really like this album. I like this time period. There are some versions on here that I think are better than the versions on Time Fades Away and Harvest, and then there are some that I'm like, I think he was right to go with these other ones. So pretty positive, though. I do like that he played Alabama in Alabama. I think that's fun.
Yeah.
What do you think, Russ?
Yeah, I mostly agree. It's definitely not my favorite, like, archival release. I think someone on Facebook, I don't remember who it was, said something about how the acoustic-y stuff is just kind of meh, but the band stuff is fun.
And a few people mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel the same way. There's just so many archive releases of Neil solo that are just way better.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's saturated.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of the same ones. Yeah, the same ones you've heard a million fucking
times. Like how many solo piano versions of After the Gold Rush?
After the Gold Rush.
Can we hear? Some are great. My favorite one, and I forget what it was.
The organ one is...
The pipe organ one is best. What was that from? Was that from Songs for Judy?
I think it was, because we just cover it.
Yeah. To me, that's my favorite, because it's better with a pipe organ. But yeah, right. You're right, Russ. They're like, these songs are everywhere. In fact, he was going to put On the Way Home on here. And John Hanlon, who helped put this together, said, that's like on every live album you've put out so far. Can we just skip that? So they actually cut that. There was nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
They just cut that song.
You should have said that about all the other ones.
After the Gold Rush, you know? Actually, I'd rather hear that than After the Gold Rush again.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Because I've heard, and again, it's obviously it's one of the best songs ever written, but how many times do we need to fucking hear it on these archives? I mean, it's
right. Yeah. You know, we've got a lot from that period, from this particular period.
I'll take it till the end of time. I don't care. It's just, I agree. I think why not throw another one of those on, like you said, Way Home or whatever, rather than another After the Gold Rush or whatever. And
right. Although On the Way Home is like starts all those other acoustic archive releases because they're all from the same tour.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
I think it's unfair for a podcast in the format that we do to weigh this album where we're weighing it. Does that make sense? Like, this is.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Get it together, Luke.
This is a great album, but we've listened to these songs.
Can you stop with your driveling nonsense?
Yeah, your profane drivel.
I feel like you're talking a lot about yourself right now. You fucking.
She is dry as a bone right now. Come on, Luke.
You know what I'm saying.
Also, I just called you a penis shit.
That one's for the folks in Japan. All right. I hope people hello, Budokan.
Luke, you kind of dig our graves even deeper when you read those, because whenever you read shit like that, we just double down.
I love having fun.
It's a self-perpetuating garbage heap.
I know.
Right.
But you know, but there was two that were very there's people singing our praise and we focus immediately.
That's actually, so I'm listening to this pot. Here we go. Right. Talking about other shit. That's not Neil Young, but I'm listening to this podcast about this cult. It started as a rehab and then now it's it became a violent cult.
Is it the Dawes Fan Club podcast?
Shut your mouth.
Yeah. Okay. That's what it was. But anyway, the founder, the dude who started it, had this system later on of just getting people to do more and more shit to weed out who is a true loyal follower. And I feel like that's kind of what we've become. And in a way, that's kind of what Neil Young did and does.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's what the Ditch Trilogy was.
Yeah, just derailing his get the fuck out of
success.
Here. Then you know who's real. Then you know who's loyal.
Except Russ, we're doing it without the success. So keep that in mind.
Exactly.
Right? We're just doing it.
Yeah, Right. Precisely.
Sorry, Luke. What were you saying?
I think
were you talking about Neil Young? What the fuck, dude?
No, I think I was just saying I feel like it's unfair. Because we listen to Neil every week.
Hey, Daryl! I think they're talking about me.
I think it's... You can hear the exhaustion, I think, in our voice immediately now. The gap between episodes. You know what I mean? We're into 2019.
I'm sorry, I've been out in the sun all day, and I'm high as a kite, so...
Fuck yeah.
You know?
No, I mean the Neil exhaustion. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
A little bit of Neil fatigue here. And I love Neil, obviously we do this podcast, but we're in 2019 and I want to finish.
I understand. A lot of this is starting to become some of the same stuff that's coming out too, the archival stuff. You know, we've covered that period already and whatever. But yeah. I think this particular release is fascinating to me. One, it sounds great. The sound is amazing.
It does sound really good.
The acoustic performances, I agree. It's if those weren't there, I probably wouldn't have noticed. All right. Although, I do I do for some reason, this version of Here We Are in the Years, which isn't very different from the first album. But for some reason, I don't know. This one charms me a little more than that one.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to me because this is the Time Fades Away tour. And we covered what was going on during that tour when we did Time Fades Away.
Right.
You know, there was a lot going on. I mean, 73. So he was just getting the harvest hit machine was rolling full on here. And so he was under a lot of pressure to do this giant tour, the biggest tour of his career at that point. He was playing arenas and the band was fighting. Remember all those stories about it was Tim Drummond who went in, said he wanted, was it Kenny Buttrey? One of those guys went in and said they wanted $500,000 because by going on tour, he'd miss all the session work. And then Jack Nietzsche heard that and told the rest of the guys, and they demanded $500,000 each or whatever. And so there was all that tension. And then, you know, Danny Whitten's death is still pretty fresh at this point. You know, Bruce Barry, you know, he's also died recently at this point. And so it's funny that I was reading on the archives when I was listening to this, he says stuff like, boy, we had a lot of fun that night. And I love playing with these guys. And I'm sure glad I could share this great moment with you and all this stuff like that. And I'm thinking wow. So this must have been a really good night because he doesn't even like talking about that era.
Yeah.
That's why he let Time Fades Away run out of print. He reissued all his albums on CD except for that one.
Right.
You know, and not because it was bad, because it just reminded him too much about what a shitty time he was having.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's kind of weird to hear him speak so highly of this time. And he's like on the article section where the album is, he's like, I'm sure glad I could share this moment in time, you know, to see what was going on in my life. And then, like, you know, if you read the notes to Decade, you know, he said, no songs from this album are on here because of the money hassles among everyone concerned ruined this tour and record for me. But I released it anyway, so you folks could see what was going on, you know, in my life and what it was like to lose it for a while. And then he also called it like the Time Fades Away record, the worst record he ever made. So it's weird how, like, I know he's probably gotten over all that by 2019. And it is a really great, the band sounds great. The album sounds great.
The band you know? and the just the production and the audio quality is stellar.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously I'm going to cheese out a little bit because you can really hear what Ben's doing.
That's the best part of this record.
Yeah.
Cause Ben gets lost on so Time good. Fades Away and Tonight's the, record, the Night the time, and stuff
yeah,
like
he
that.
He does.
You know, all that. But here
you can really hear him.
Yeah. And you can really hear the contribution, not just on pedal steel, but slide guitar.
Yeah.
You know, and his backing vocals, everything.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And that's kind of why I like some of these versions better than the Time Fades Away, because of that reason. Because you can actually really hear what Ben's doing and it just fills it out. Like the song, like Time Fades Away.
Yeah.
That song on this track, I think I like better than the album version.
And he kicks ass on the slide guitar in that song. He's just like playing circles around everybody else on that stage.
He is. Yeah, he really is.
Yeah.
He's kind of making a fool out of everyone else, which is great. It's fucking awesome.
But yeah, it's like this must have been a really stellar night.
Yeah, like just a fun.
Yeah.
You can tell, like, even when he introduces them.
Yeah, he's like, you're my friends. Know? That yeah. one. A $500,000 each, those motherfuckers.
<You know? laughs> Right. Yeah, I think it was Tim. I think Tim led the charge on that.
Yeah. And then, like, that whole, I don't know if you remember, this is from Jimmy McDonough's Shaky. And this other sources on this, that Jack Nietzsche would, after a while, he was just sick of it. And he showed up so drunk that they had to unplug his mic. And not because he couldn't sing the backups. It's because he would answer lines and when Neil would sing them. He'd be like, that's a load of bullshit.
I think I remember saying that.
You weren't like that backstage when you were chewing my ass out. He was saying stuff like that. And so they just shut his mic off so nobody could hear him.
He's just like... Yeah, he's just doing like a Rick Sanchez into the microphone. He's just like burping.
I love that. I love. Have you guys run into that in the? And let's talk about something else now besides Neil Young. This is when you hit the fast forward. So, have you guys run into any of that, like in town meeting or maybe in your travels? Someone's on stage and they're just like, "Fuck you guys."
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Like band the audience,
band members.
No, I'm talking about in the band.
Yes. There's
have you guys ever pulled a Hotel California and just started punching each other in the face?
Nothing like that, but we should have.
I feel like that's definitely happened. I don't know. You've seen a million bands. You must have seen all kinds of shit like this.
Yeah, I remember seeing a band in Richmond. I think they were called Whitey.
Oh, God.
If I remember correctly. And the singer just said, fuck this. It was a three piece. And the guitar player was the singer. He said, fuck this. And just like unplugged his guitar and started putting away. And the drummer leapt. Oh, it was impressive. He leapt over his drum kit, like over his cymbals and everything, and grabbed the guy. And they just started punching each other on stage.
While he was leaping through the air, did he say, kill Whitey?
Yeah. Awesome. Luckily, the 10 people that were in there that night were able to break up the fight. So... I remember I don't know if I told you when I was interviewing the Jayhawks, they basically were disintegrating in front of me. This was like
I don't remember that.
It was like mid-90s. They were on their last tour. They were playing in Richmond and they were just hating each other. At one point, Gary Loris swung them like I couldn't hear what one of the other guys was saying. And he swung the mic, boom, and the mic at the guy and almost nailed him in the face. And
then there were some words. During the interview or on stage?
Yes, on air, during the inter- on the radio. Wow. Right. When I went to see him later that night, they were all like buddies. You know?
I think it was just you then, Chu. I think
it was me. I broke up the Jayhawks. Yeah. I'm 0% fun guy.
0%, man. 0.01. What's up, Lukey? What do you got going on over there?
Nothing. I'm feeling a little bit like sweaty. I opened a beer that I think is about 8 months old, and I didn't realize it. And then I drank half of it, and I'm feeling a little
A yeast infection? Is it a yeast infection?
No. Feeling a little shaky. No pun intended. But the show.
Oh, very good.
This album makes me think of Danny Whitten a lot because he died 4 months before this album, and I know. So I was looking up some stuff on Danny, and there's an article that came out in the UK about a year ago. And this guy says, it's safe to say that apart from ex-girlfriend Carrie Snodgrass, no one person has had more of an effect on the career of Neil Young than the late Crazy Horse guitarist Danny Whitten. I'm wondering if you guys agree or disagree with that.
I totally agree with that.
On the career of Neil?
The career. And this was written in 2021, so this is like not...
I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Neil Young said at one point that, you know, it's not... he felt pretty lucky because not everyone finds their partner in their passion or his musical partner. And he said Danny Whitten was that person. That if he had just had to make music with Danny Whitten the rest of his life, that would, you know, that would be okay with him.
But
yeah, without Danny's death, you wouldn't have
a lot of
everything that came after it.
But it's
and that's where Ben kind of filled those shoes. I think like Ben kind of, I think Ben coming into Neil's life when he did, and then just going forward from that point, I don't think you get a lot of what Neil is or became without Ben.
Yeah.
Like I can't imagine Neil, like what Neil's music, and yeah, it is true for Danny, but that was kind of happened so early on, you know?
Right. But it's the way it happened that makes me,
well, it happened right before this tour.
Yeah.
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 It's not like it's not like his friend just passed away, you know, he fired him and then he died that day he gave
him the money that he bought heroin with, and then he died.
Yeah. And not that any of it is Neil's fault, obviously.
No.
But like that has got to really, and he said, I think I read this thing, Neil, I think this was from Shaky. Young remembered, we were rehearsing with him and he just couldn't cut it. He couldn't remember anything. He was too out of it, too far gone. I had to tell him to go back to LA. It's not happening, man. You're not together enough. He just said, I've got nowhere else to go, man. How am I going to tell my friends? And he split. And then Young handed Whitten $50 and a plane ticket to LA. And then Young heartbreakingly recalled, that night the coroner called me and told me he died. It blew my mind. Fucking blew my mind. I loved Danny. I felt responsible. And from there, I had to go right out on this huge tour of huge arenas. I was very nervous and insecure.
Yeah, that's...
So you had the pressure of having a hit album, going out on the biggest tour of his life, his musical, like, soulmate dying, the band shitting on each other.
Yep.
You know, all that, and he took all that out on the road on this tour. And so it's, to me, it's surprising how, I don't know if light is the right word to use for this record, but it's in like mood.
Yeah.
Even the somber, the hard stuff, you know, even that stuff. And it's like, it still sounds like it, you can hear joy in their playing.
It's,
you know,
it's,
and it
almost
doesn't...
like the first time. It, I mean, who knows, but it kind of seems like, cause the Time Fades Away album doesn't have that feel.
No, it's, and you know why? Part of it is Buttrick quit. I don't know if you guys remember talking about that halfway through. And Neil said, fine. Neil wanted a more rock drummer anyway. And he got, what's the dude's name?
Was it not Keltner, right?
No, it was Batera. I forgot to write it down. Anyway, he was more of a rock drummer, like he had a heavier hand.
Right.
And so I think that contributed to the sound for what you, because he was playing the drums on all the songs on Time Fades Away.
Yeah.
Time Fades Away was all stuff from the second half of the tour. So you have Buttrey, who's a little lighter on the drums here. And then you have another guy comes in who plays a lot heavier. Plus, in the second half of that tour, he brought in David Crosby and Graham Nash.
That's right. Yeah.
Because he wanted better backup vocals. And according to, I think it was Kenny Buttrey, that really sucked because David Crosby had to have his guitar turned all the way up in the monitors. And nobody could, you know, plus he had to have a fresh whalebone comb every day for his mustache. They had to slaughter a whale every day.
Yeah.
Try finding a fucking whale in New Mexico, Russ.
I mean...
Okay?
Yeah. You know, that's what Albuquerque is about.
That's right. Looking for a whale for fucking Crosby. No, but so that's probably it. You know, it's like new drummer. The tensions probably came to a head. And then you got harder songs on Time Fades Away, like L.A., right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, so...
Yeah, no, I just... I think I was feeling that a little bit on my last listen to this, trying to like listen to it through that lens, thinking maybe this is 4 months after. I don't know where this show landed on the tour. He's playing a college, he's playing Alabama. It's already kind of weird because, you know, who knows? I know Neil doesn't give a shit, but I just, I don't know. I think I kind of felt like maybe this, he turned a leaf here. He was maybe, I have no idea. No reason to say that other than...
I think it's just... I feel like it's just one of those... I mean, you and I, Luke, know that there can be, like, what's the right word? Like, contentious. There can be beef or just heavy vibes between the band as individuals or just in general. And then there'll just be a night where it just kind of clicks.
Yeah.
You know? And you don't know what it is. You don't know the fucking potion and you don't know the alchemy of it, but it just kind of happens. It just kind of clicks.
Yeah.
And it's not like, and that's kind of the feel I get from this. Like you were saying, Shu, it just kind of seems like one of those nights where it just worked.
Yeah. Like everything was great.
All the bullshit just kind of went away for a second.
Yeah. And the crowd was good.
And they just played together well, you know? I also like, there's this, you kind of get this when you listen to almost any live album, but I notice it a lot with the Neil stuff where there's kind of two separate groups as far as the audience goes, where when he's going to start a song and he's either playing the piano or the guitar or whatever, and he starts to do the melody on the instrument, and then there's a group of people who are like, because they like know what he's playing.
Yeah.
And then he starts singing the words, and then there's like a second group that, mm-hmm. Oh, this one.
Right.
Which is, it's just, I don't, this is a totally side thing from what we're talking about, but it just, as I was listening again before we started, I was like, it's almost every song. There's like the crew that like knows it from note one, you know?
Right.
Even then there's the crew that's like, oh, once they hear the words, now they know what song it is.
Even Old Man, which he literally
says. Right. He literally says, all right, I didn't want to say Old Man. and then people still don't. Singing it, and then they're like,
yeah.
Well, Harvest. What
did you think he was going to play, you fucking Jamoke?
Harvest is still a pretty new album at this point, right?
That's true, yeah.
It's only like a year old or whatever.
That's wild. Maybe. That's wild to think about. Yeah, so
Those are still, even though they're hit songs, they're still new songs.
Yeah.
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 But I mean, I feel like that's just a thing in general throughout.
Yeah. You got the hardcore fans who like the new Neil's out. So they'll listen to it. And so, yeah, you know, once he put, I'm sure we all have bands like that. Once they just start like the first 3 seconds, you're like, yes.
Right.
You're the whole section saying that. Everybody else
is like,
what is it?
You know what else too? I feel like we have youngsters, we have listeners that are like that with us. That, you know, we have the John Locks and the Craig Bitch.
Oh, hey, are we talking about ourselves now? I just want to differentiate. Okay.
We have those listeners who, when they know, man, they fucking know they're about to mention fucking semen.
That's
they
right.
Just, they Luke's feel it, you
say
know.
Semen here.
Then we got the two different, or like, oh, I feel a Hey Daryl coming on. I feel a jacket Hey voice. Daryl.
And then there's that one guy who's like, they were way better when they were drinking Squirt. Squirt's like our honey slides.
I miss the fucking Squirt days, yeah, dude. Where's Dan Moshpit?
Yeah, Dan Moshpit's like, they don't drink Squirt anymore. Fuck those guys. Traitors.
You just cut to Dan Moshpit. He's got a pair of Oakleys. He just breaks them in half. He
crushes the Oakleys.
And just one tear, and it's like right. Code Red. It's a Code Red Mountain Dew. It's
right, yeah, exactly. Tear. Yeah. His eyes are all friggin' Code Redded out.
Just a one tear of Code Red Mountain Dew. Or would it be Baja Blast? I don't know. I feel like it'd be Code Red.
I think Code Red. That sounds more Dan Moshpit.
It does. Yeah. Just breaks a pair of Oakley.
Oh, man.
Well, no, you know, keep
nobody
in mind.
Knows what, nobody knows what the fuck we're talking about. That's so old. That's such
wicked
old.
That's like old. Stuff. Yeah, come on. Seriously.
I am glad you brought it up, though, Russ, because that does remind me that we have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/longmayyouyoung. And I want to thank our top tier patrons, John Locke, Craig Bitch, and Mark Ray, for being top tier patrons. I know we've been a month since we put stuff out, but also, Russ is frozen and Mike is frozen. Oh, here they come.
Luke, you're frozen.
Luke's gone. Luke's gone.
Luke's had a stroke. Look at him. He can't talk now.
He can't talk, yeah.
Russ, shove your wallet in his mouth.
Oh, wait, I can hear, kind of hear him.
Oh, there he is. Oh, okay, you're back, man.
Okay. Okay, so this is, Zoom only records what I'm getting. So to you guys, I froze, but to me, you froze. So I was talking, and then both of you at the same time go, Luke,
your father.
No, that's too bad because Shu and I were killing it. We were ripping. No, man.
I caught the riff. It was just squeezed into 2 seconds of. There's a few moments like that. Like at the beginning, Russ, I think I said something like, "Oh, I want to finish," and you said "gross," and then you said something about finishing, but it came out in slow motion.
Nice,
finish.
Perfect.
Yeah. Zoom is convenient because we can podcast whenever, but it also sucks for that.
It's also the worst.
Yes. Well, also keep in mind about this: what we're hearing on Tuscaloosa isn't the whole show either.
Right.
Apparently, the engineer did the thing that Neil hates the most.
He didn't roll. He wasn't rolling.
And besides putting too many cars on the back of a K1300 Lionel model train, what does Neil hate the most?
He hates.
Go ahead.
He hates when you don't press
record
once he walks into the room.
That's correct.
I thought we were going to riff on maybe an Aerostar van or something. But
He hates when the windows get fogged up in his Aerostar van when he's creeping at malls.
Actually, I hate this podcast, you fucking idiots. Yeah, actually, what I hate the most is this fucking podcast.
I hate your Hey Daryls. I don't sound like that at all.
I'm the one that said you fucking don't talk about me enough.
I'm 100% fun girl.
Yeah. You got a fucking problem with that?
Mike,
that's
who?
Right. I can be a girl.
I did that on purpose. Mike, who? Like, who are you, you fucking idiot?
I like Angry Neil now.
Okay. Harmonica by Joe Yankee and violin by 100% Fun Girl.
I love that Angry Neil's only angry at us, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, really. I really hate model trains. Guys, I have other things that I'm into, you fucking morons.
Maybe like fucking music? You'd know that if you fucking talked about me.
Hey, Neil, how about you develop some kind of sprinkler system for your barn that holds all your fucking archives when your electric car goes up in flames?
How about you develop some hair on your balls, you fucking asshole?
I like this now. I'm kind of leaning into this guy.
Oh, great idea. Why don't you do a podcast about me and talk about what I'm thinking, you fucking morons?
Yeah, that's a great idea, Luke. Why don't you lean into fucking doing an impression of me instead of actually fucking talking about the stuff I've done through it?
It just gets really meta.
It gets super meta.
No, by all means, do another Hey Daryl, you fucking morons. Yeah, because that's fucking hilarious. Just saying me saying my wife's name. Hey, fuck you.
At this point, right now, we should switch the subject matter of this podcast from Neil Young to The Rehearsal. All right.
Well, this podcast is a rehearsal for our Neil Young.
Oh, yeah. This is just the rehearsal. Right.
It's the rehearsal for, yeah, us, we're interviewing playing, angry Neil.
That's right. We're actors, right? We're just actors. And all this was just a fucking rehearsal.
It's one of the most brilliant shows I've ever seen.
I was so confused when I started watching it. I was like,
I haven't seen it.
Is this guy for real? Is this a joke?
Have you ever seen any Nathan For You?
No, I never watched Nathan For You.
Do yourself a favor and watch all of
them. I'm going to. Because he's amazing.
It's, and then rewatch The Rehearsal, and it's just, he's just insane. He's an insane person. And it's,
I love the, like, when they went to the warehouse and they recreated the bar.
Yeah.
In the first episode, that's when I finally realized, I was like, okay, this has got to be a joke because nobody fucking does that. I mean, the apartment, I got, for some reason, the apartment, I believed it. But when they did the whole bar and everything in the warehouse, I was like, fucking no, this, like, can't be, is it?
The first,
I love that. I love being so confused.
The very first episode of Nathan For You, he convinces a frozen yogurt owner to make a poop flavor because it will bring in more customers. It's the best. He's like top five funniest people of all time.
That's so awesome.
It's incredible.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, this is going really fucking well here, guys.
thanks for tuning in to Long May You Rehearse.
Well, just hold on real quick before we... Because we already hopped off, Neil, so I got to... Mike, I've been playing a shit ton of disc lately. A shit ton. And I got
Did you play today? You ended up playing today?
I didn't end up playing today. My wife had to go to her sister's house, so I had to hang out. But my son bought me this shirt. He didn't tell me.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
That's great.
I'm here to hit trees and curse.
Hit trees and curse. Yep. That's every round.
That's actually this podcast as well, because Shoe's right. He's hitting trees.
He hits trees.
Smoking trees. Weed. Cursing.
And I'm cursing. Yeah. I'm profane.
You are, baby.
I love it. Well, let's get back to Tuscaloosa here, please. Before.
Sounds like a good idea, you fucks.
Before that guy in England fucking comes over here.
No, the English guy liked us.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
You know what's so fucking sad about this fucking podcast? The only time you're ever going to get to talk to me is by you doing a fucking impression of me that I'll never hear because I'm not me.
Oh, yeah.
So enjoy it. Hey, Carol.
I hope if we ever do actually talk to Neil, he just comes like fucking vehemently angry. Like, you guys going to do another? Hey, Daryl. I'm just a fucking joke to you, aren't I? Don't worry. I only wrote some of the best selling music of all time. But
hey,
I'm a fucking joke.
Sorry. Hey, Mike, who? What are you going to do? Start off this interview like you did the fucking Korchmar one? You going to tell me I'm a fucking piece of shit?
Korchmar called me. I said, what are these guys all about? And he said, you were assholes. You said you hated, you said you thought landing on water was a big piece of shit. And I'd be like, Neil, you said that too, didn't you?
Mike, he was in
you
tears.
You said that first.
I had to hold him in my arms for 2 hours. He still hasn't recovered.
Waddy Wattel called me. He said he'd been sleeping on his couch all week, crying. Couldn't even look at his kids. Carole King blowing up my Pono beeper.
Dude, you know what would be great is if... Yeah, my Pono beeper. You know what would be great, too, is if we do get somehow... We find out, okay, yeah, Neil wants to do an interview with you guys. The screen pops up. Neil's there with his electric, and he starts playing Hard Luck Stories.
He does like a whole,
yeah.
Right,
he just does Landing on Water.
He just plays it live.
Yeah, we don't get to talk. Yeah,
then he leaves the meeting.
Zooms out slowly, and Korchmar's behind him, just with two
two birds. But then, like, it keeps zooming out. Adam's filming it too, by the way. Adam's filming it. But yeah, so it's in
black and white.
Yeah, it's in black and white, and it just keeps backing up. So then, yeah, you see Korchpron with the two birds up, and then there's a huge, like, because you kind of see, like, there's a big banner behind him, and you're just like, you see some lettering, you don't know what it says, and then it just fully zooms out, and then it says, "Hey, Daryl sucks." And it's just Daryl waving at us.
Yeah, like the "Hey, Daryl" in quotes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, in quotes. It's ridiculous.
I hope it goes that well when we finally talk to him.
Yeah.
Yes, Tuscaloosa. So they didn't turn the tape on when he first started playing. So I guess they missed a couple of songs. And then what could be even worse?
They turned it off too soon.
Yep.
Fucking moron.
They turned it off too soon.
It's like the one thing.
You really, right? It's like, you know, just hit record. Once I pull into the parking lot, just hit record. Also, record, like, everything.
Even if it's not Neil, like if someone's like, "Hey, record the show," like, just record the whole show.
You mean like when you start playing? Do you want me to start recording?
Yeah. Don't be like after don't be denied. Be like, "This feels like a good ending point." What the hell?
That's good.
It was a good ending point, though. It was a great fucking version of that.
Natural ending.
It was great. I that's one of the ones I thought was better than.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that was, to me, an 8-minute "Don't Be Denied." Are you kidding me?
That was great.
That was just, yeah, that was like,
that was a good one.
That was just like picking me up and cradling me and burping me and then laying me down gently, swaddled in my crib. You know?
Yummy.
Do you,
like,
did that?
Did you listen to The Loner?
I didn't say fuck once.
You just did.
Yeah.
You blew it.
Oh, shit. Oh, sorry.
Classic.
I apologize.
I don't.
It was. It was. I don't know.
What'd you say?
Well, he said they originally didn't. Someone
the
say
loner.
Because
I listened to it.
Well, apparently his guitar didn't sound good or was out of tune, and then they tried to clean it up, and it sounded okay to me.
It sounds fine. It's not my favorite version.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly, Russ. I wouldn't like run to it anymore. Oh, on a side note. Two side notes. One, there was supposed to be a Time Fades Away 2. He was actually going to release a second Time Fades Away with even more stuff on it, but that got lost somewhere. I'm sure it'll come out in, you know, like a month.
Right.
Along with 17 other albums.
Wait, like,
but then he said,
wouldn't that just be Tonight's the Night?
No, it's still stuff from this tour.
From Time. Yeah. It'd be.
And, but he said Tuscaloosa was the closest thing that you're going to get to that. I'm guessing it was additional stuff with Buttrey on drums as opposed to the new drummer they had for all of Time Fades Away.
Right.
Okay. So I'm guessing, and it was probably just going to be all new songs like Time Fades Away was.
I think should you pull up maybe the Facebook, Luke, and
yeah, I'll read a few. I'm not going
to
read
every. Because we don't need to go through every song here, but I think a lot of people liked New Mama.
Do you like that version of New Mama?
I like it.
As opposed to Tonight's the Night?
Yeah, I like it.
I like it. I don't like it as much as the other versions, if I'm being honest.
I really like when he does New Mama does he do it with all three of the guys, or does he just do it with Crosby and Stills? I can't remember.
Oh, we played. I think it's just Crosby and Nash, isn't it?
I can't remember, but I like that. Those harmonies are fucking baller.
Yeah. So as far as that song goes, Cartier Jansen says, "This version of New Mama belongs as a topping on a Casa de Mama pizza because it's a hot sausage."
Yeah.
Right. I don't know what that is.
I don't either, but I'm totally triggered. Now I need to call and get a pizza.
I know, me
Sounds
too.
Good.
Luke's like, I'm going to kill Mike Shue and wear his skin. I won't read that one.
Craig Bitch, "Out on the Weekend and Harvest Moon." I'm sorry. "Out on the Weekend and Harvest sound especially loose on this album, but the gem is this version of New Mama, funkier than the studio version and great presence from Ben Keith. I played this version of New Mama for my wife on the day that Little Charlie Bitch was born back in June."
Sounds like some fucked up, like,
Greg,
cartoon.
That's your child.
Yeah.
That's also hilarious. Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, Greg. That's awesome. On all the little bitches.
This is the tale of little Charlie Bitch.
Please let's not do this. Alex Alt, I just spun this a few days ago. A fantastic show with the Gators. Don't be denied as a solid closer. This cup is brimming with promise. I'm not going to bite.
You're not going to Craig bite.
And then a few James Clark, love half of this disc. The acoustic is underwhelming and common. The electric set I haven't been able to stop playing since it was released.
That was James Clark. Yeah, who said the acoustic stuff was not great, but he likes the band stuff a lot.
Paul Gase agrees, but says, I think this version of After the Gold Rush is fantastic. You can hear the song bouncing off the concrete walls. It puts you right into Neil's mindset. He wasn't a happy camper. And then he also says, what I love this. He says, best moment on this record is the segue from Heart of Gold to Time Fades Away. Very abrupt. Neil saying, enough with this crap. Here's this.
Yes, this is what's going on now in my brain.
Yeah.
In my brain.
He was he did a quick time travel. He was thinking about us. He was thinking about the host of this podcast and how angry he is at us. That's why he made it.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing in 1973. Yeah, guys, I travel through time, you fucking idiots. And for some reason, I care about you.
Oh, yeah.
You're nothing to me.
Maybe Daryl was waiting to listen to the latest episode. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean, there's plenty of other ones that she could listen to.
Well, if that's true, then when I said that whole thing about us doing that bit. You know what I mean? When I said that.
Do you think that's going to be the thing that she's like, oh, okay.
Oh, clever.
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay.
Oh, thank you for explaining. Yeah. What are we doing? Should we listen to New Mama?
Yeah, put on a little New Mama.
All right, hold on, I gotta share my screen and all that.
Oh, I gotta let you.
I love the cheeseburger story he tells before Heart of Gold.
What do you
call it? Cheeseburger of Gold. He said he allegedly turned down a commercial opportunity. Maybe it wasn't for cheeseburgers, but you know, he turned down advertising money for the use of Heart of Gold. And
Burger of Gold?
Which got me to thinking, what if Neil Young opened up a burger joint near the Atlantic City boardwalk? Like Bob's Burgers. Okay. And he had a different burger that they featured every day as a special. Because I thought of a couple.
Okay.
Because I can be 100% fun too.
Okay. Let's go ahead, Mike. What are these burgers? I'm interested.
Okay. There's the Lookout Sloppy Joe.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's the Don't Be Deep Fried Diet Burger. There's the After the Yukon Gold Rush Fries.
Wow, very nice.
Wow.
And, of course, all of these items can come with a side of the special promise of a man sauce.
Of course.
Right, if you so choose.
But Mike,
I'm just thinking that would be we should do that. We should open up a Neil Young Archives burger place.
Okay.
I feel like there's something with here we are in the East.
The hell's happening there, Bubs?
I don't know why it's being weird.
Yeah, first of all, that was totally psychedelic and hilarious. Here we are in the East.
Wait, turn that off.
Is that better?
There you go. That's perfect.
That was it. All right.
But Mike, before, what do you call a Heart of Gold burger in France? You call it a Royale of Gold burger.
Royale with gold.
Sorry. I was sitting on that for too long.
They got the fucking metric system in France.
Let's play a little New Mama.
All right. Let's see if this works.
Hey, nice bit, guys. Real fucking smooth.
Working?
There's another old song, yeah, another new song. We're going to do some more old ones in a minute. It's a new song I just wrote a little while ago.
This one's for Little Charlie Bitch.
I do like the like stops and stuff, and yeah, it's definitely way different from like the harmony driven versions, and it's nice. I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, I can't decide. They're both really good.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm leaning towards this one, but maybe it's because I did a you know, back to back comparison. You know, I listened to both, and they're both extremely different. I think that's why I'm having a hard time deciding, which I think is very cool.
I like that, yeah. Though. Yeah.
This was refreshing.
And don't forget to try our new mama chicken and egg sandwich. Only at Archive Burger. Sorry.
So wait, new mama meaning like the chicken that laid the egg is a new mama, right? But you're eating the baby.
Right, that's right. Yeah, new mama. Right.
I just needed to explain that.
Thank you. Because the number one rule in comedy is always explain your jokes.
Thank you.
Fucking good one.
Yeah,
you guys are doing fucking great.
Okay, now I like the idea. You know the angel and devil on your shoulder?
Yeah, two Neils.
Two Neils. One of them is like playful and hey Darrow-ish, and the other one just is fucking critiques everything you do.
One Neil totally supports Reagan's foreign policy.
and the other one writes the looking for a leader, the 2020.
Right. No, the other one's totally fucked up on honey slides, and he's just laying on his side on your shoulder, and he doesn't talk.
Yeah. Fucked up on honey slides. Oh, also, this is super cheesy, but I don't know. You started off, Luke, talking about like the Neil exhaustion thing, but before we were podcasting, I was like trying to pack. Because I'm going away next week, and
adventure for the old Russ man.
Yeah, and I had this playing like loud through my speaker in my room, and I just was like, I actually haven't listened to Neil in a little bit since the last episode, probably. And I was just like fucking singing these songs out loud, just like really loud, singing them, enjoying it, and was like, I fucking love this guy. He's my favorite artist. He's the best. And that's why we do this podcast. That's why I wanted to do this podcast. It also helps that Ben Keith fucking slays on this record too, but
that really is the highlight for me too, Ross, is that you can clearly hear Ben do all the stuff.
Just do all
the playing, the singing, you know. Yeah. It's just great to really hear him clearly, cuz if you listen to Time Fades Away, you can't hear him so much. And you listen to Tonight's the Night, he's kind of buried in there a little bit too, most of the time.
John Locke with the timely Facebook comment just now posted, I'll keep it short. Neil plus Ben equals joy.
Hey, look at that.
Wow.
Wow. Don't forget the Ben Keith McRib.
You're just saying.
I don't even know. At least before you had like smart, clever puns. Now you're just.
I'm having a tough time. Mike, you know this is right in my wheelhouse. And I am looking at these titles and struggling.
Right. The fried green Ben Keith. Okay, I got nothing left. There's nothing left in the tank, you guys. I'm done. Good Lord. I'm not 100% fun. I'm only like 75% fun today. Yeah, sorry.
How about like Kenny Buttered Corn or something?
Oh, yeah. Oh, right? Yeah. Kenny Buttery Biscuits.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Kenny Buttry biscuits. Yeah,
a little appetizer.
Tim Drummond fried Tim Drummond sticks.
Yeah, right? There you go. What'd you say, yeah. Luke?
A little appetizer out on the wheat thins. I don't know.
Oh,
wheat thins.
Oh, okay. There it is.
Wheat thins.
I love that at Neil's restaurant he just serves wheat thins.
Neil wheat thins.
I mean, I did say here we are in the yeast.
In the yeast. Yeah, I love that.
Don't criticize my wheat thins appetizer. They're both fucking stupid. You guys don't know shit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Are we going to do a top three for this?
Yeah.
Did you guys want to hear any other songs?
I wouldn't mind hearing the Heart of Gold intro that Mike was referencing. I think that...
I'd like to hear some Rush, actually. Can you play Rush?
I mean...
Ooh, can we play the new Dawes album?
Because I think we've talked about Neil Young for too long on this episode.
Barb.
Excuse me.
That was Rush. That was pretty close.
That was close, yeah.
Come on.
That was Passage to Ham Hock.
Is that from your Rush Burger restaurant?
That's
working Tom. Ham.
Oh,
we had the opportunity to make a commercial of this tune, which we turned down.
Tom Soy Sauce. Sorry, I'll stop.
It's a story. I don't clap for this story because most of it I'm making up and it isn't true.
What? The archives just fucked off.
Is it still doing that for you? Yeah, it's still doing that for me too. It'll just stop, or it'll stop in the middle and play like the next song or something
just,
like that.
It just did a weird thing. I do love that. I love that cute little Neil giggle though.
Yeah,
people get upset. People get upset when we say that Neil's cute, but
yeah, they do, cute. Don't they? Because Neil Young, he's not fun, and Neil Young is not sexy, but Neil Young is. No, I think it wasn't the word cute. I believe you called Neil adorable.
Adorable.
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
Because in every, you know how there's that old Indian proverb, sorry, old Native American proverb, in every man there's two wolves, but I think that in every man there's two Neils. There's an adorable Neil, and there's just a bitter,
there's an angry Neil.
Mean, angry Neil, and they're fighting for your attention. And this podcast, Bitter Neil came out. He just found his way out. And I don't want to blame your burger bit, Mike, but I think it was your burger bit.
Was it the burger bit?
It was the burger bit.
Oh, no. Damn.
I like
so much for my Harvest Veggie Burger.
I mean, that's fine. But the other one was stuff like Time Fades Away Pizza.
Yeah.
That was like your thing.
No, it was the Ben Keith McRib. That's the only thing I could think of.
No effort. Zero effort.
Don't be denied Pepsi or whatever the hell.
I know. I love that you stole. No, there's Mick in the thing.
There's
Mick,
don't
the
be
McRib.
It was the don't be deep fried diet menu.
Okay, that's
bad. Fuck you guys.
Don't be deep fried is great.
It's not bad.
Fries fade away. I don't know.
I had some okra, onion rings. Sorry.
No, that's
it. All right. Are we doing a top three for this?
Yeah, let's do a top three. What do you guys got? I can go first.
I have the Lookout Sloppy Joe at number three.
Okay.
I had Time Fades Away at number two and Don't Be Denied at number one.
Okay, I'm close. I'm fairly similar. Three, I had New Mama just because I thought it was kind of new and cool. Two was Time Fades Away. And then Don't Be Denied is my one.
Yeah, that's a great version.
Yeah.
Mine's pretty much similar to you guys. Although, wait, did you say Out on the Weekend, Luke?
No.
No. Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Shu. With New Mama, they're so different. I can't. Like I know I like it, but I don't know if I want it to be in my top three because, you know what I mean? It's still like just on the fence, kind of.
Well, what about Here We Are in the Ears of Street Corn?
There you go.
Mike, I went back to Georgia's hot dog stand yesterday, got a pastrami dog.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, the pastrami, that's a lot of sodium and grease, and it feels good going down. But after 10 minutes, you're sitting there going, I can't feel my heart beating.
I brought my wife home a lobster roll from there.
Was it good?
Might be one of the best lobster rolls she's ever had.
Really?
It's like a weird,
that's good to know.
Hidden gem in Fitchburg.
Did it cost you $30?
It cost like $23.
That's pretty close to 30, Luke.
But it's, I mean, like for a lobster roll, it's
not bad. I mean, that's par for the course these days, unfortunately. But
lobster roll, another number.
Ah, right. Very good.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
I think my number three is actually Out on the Weekend.
Is it Russ? Is Out on the Weekend the one where he introduces the
band? Yeah, he introduces the band. I like that one. Yeah. Three.
No, doesn't he do that before Harvest? Because he's like, I gotta get this rhythm right. And then he goes, let me introduce you to my friends.
Oh, you're right. Yes. You're right. Yeah. Yeah, he brings them out. He brings them out.
Right, and they play, and then he introduces them. Yeah.
Which is it does like kind of make Out on the Weekend pretty cool after like the first two, well, probably the first like five or six because the sound guy didn't record the whole
thing. Yeah.
That
yeah.
fucking guy.
Three is Out on the Weekend. Two is Time Fades Away. And one is Don't Be Denied.
Nice.
Don't Be Denied is just great. It's just, it's the one, the version on Time Fades Away is good. But this Don't Be Denied is, I think, better. I think most of these second half ones are better.
Yeah, the whole second half of this album is really great. I got to say, the Harvest stuff is really good, too. I really like the live versions, only because you can hear Ben Keith fine on Harvest, but just hearing him so clearly, you know, in a live situation like that, it sounds awesome. That's pretty much why I will keep coming back to this album, or at least one of the reasons, is that Ben Keith really gets mixed well on this record, where you can hear everything he's doing.
I'm actually, I agree on, and I'm with James. I'll skip the acoustic couple in the beginning and just go right to the band stuff and the Keith, the Ben stuff, especially the McRib stuff. Sorry. the Ben Keith McRib.
Sorry. Well, I mean, it is long grain. I probably should have gone
that's true.
With that, right?
Yeah,
that's the thing you should have gone with. That's the remedy.
That's the thing Neil's going to... That's the thing Neil's going to convince that, Neil that to
was
come
it.
On.
That was it, Mike Who. That really fucking does it. That seals the deal, you fucking prick.
This angry Neil.
I like ornery Neil.
I do too. He's like, because he knows he knows what's really bothering you, and he really gets he digs in. He's that voice in your head.
Oh, I'm sorry, Luke. Are you a little grumpy because you had an 8-year-old beer? Get some fucking new beer.
It's fucking Neil Sanchez. It's literally just Rick from Rick and Morty, is what it is.
Oh, I'm sorry, Morty.
Yeah.
So that would that make Nils Jerry?
Come on. No. You can't do that to Nils.
Nils would be Morty. All right. Nils would be Morty. Right?
Yeah.
Nils would absolutely be Morty.
Yeah. That's you're right. You're right. I fucked up again. Sorry.
It's all good.
Sorry, 100% fun
Poncho,
girl.
Poncho would be bird person.
Here's some more quality content for all those.
Would Daryl be what's her name? What's his like obsession's name? No, she would be like the girl he likes from school. Remember, he's always talking about her.
No, because I know Jessica? Who you're talking, Jessica. But you're but Neil Rick's is Rick. So who?
Oh, right.
He could be the planet that he.
Yeah, that planet.
I'm Pickle Neil.
I'm Pickle Neil.
All right, you guys are going on a minute of this. You're going to do another? You're going to waste everyone's another minute of people's time with a Rick and Morty? Real timely, guys. Hey.
Daryl. They're talking about cartoons now.
Hey, Long May You Young, 2015 called. Oh, wants all its Rick and Morty references back, you fucking morons.
Oh, you just had to throw a fucking Hey Daryl in there for a good measure there, didn't you, fucking who?
Who?
Next is Colorado.
Hooker King.
Next is Colorado, which is a milestone for us boys, because Colorado is the last album that existed based on release date before we started this podcast.
That's right. Yeah.
Say that again.
Colorado is the last album that was released before we started this podcast, because after that was Homegrown, and we had already started the podcast for Homegrown.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
That's Wait, awesome.
Well, are we going to cover the Truth Kills Rainbow, those two songs? Rainbow.
Aren't they both on Colorado?
Are they?
No.
Yeah.
Rainbow is, but Truth Kills.
Good job, Russ.
No, they're not. Truth
Way Kills to be is. Part of a Neil Young podcast.
Truth Kills is not.
Bitter Neil.
Bitter. Ornery Bitter Neil. Neil.
Pickle well, yeah, Neil.
Let's do both. Let's do both.
Neil, did you change yourself into a pickle so you wouldn't have to be a guest on the Long May You Young podcast?
No. No.
All right. I'm back on this.
Bit. I did That's it to good. Challenge myself.
If you don't
No,
like
I did.
It,
I. Go ahead. No, I did it because I wanted to be on Mike Shue's genius invention of the Ben Keith McRib.
If you don't like it, take it up with the Council of Neils.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
And I just love that Neil won't let it go, either the thing that you fucked up with. He just won't.
He's going to harp on it. I'm a time-traveling vampire. You're running this bit so you can make sure that people think I'm an interdimensional person now, too. Oh, geez, I fell apart, guys. I'm sorry.
Yikes. That's that was right, fucking man. Beautiful, Luke. Way to go.
Wow, you guys are real pros. Buddy Hackett has nothing on you guys.
Nice Buddy that's like Hackett. Last, we just that's all like, we wrong.
That's like the last comedy show Neil saw. It was Buddy like Hackett. When he was in Las Vegas, he happened to catch Buddy Hackett at 3 a.m.
I think what we do here, Luke, is all three of us just go out on just hardcore bitter Neil, and you just fade as Neil fades away.
Oh, great Neil fucking idea. Away. Oh, real original. The fade. On
that's
original time fades away.
That's beautiful. Title.
So what? You just had to have a original, shit fucking idea right at go, the end of the fucking podcast, right
Jesus
when Luke
Christ.
Fucking Luke shit the bed, then fucking the Mick. Great idea. Yeah, great idea. Fade this shit out. Why don't you do the jacket voice on the way out? Because that's fucking hilarious. Also, Mike, why don't you watch Back to the Future 2? It's a fucking goddamn classic.
I am not watching it unless the only reason I'll watch that fucking movie is like if we're doing the fucking live thing. So
no, the only way you'll do it is if you have a fucking McRib in your hand, isn't it? You fucking dunce.
You fat fuck. You piece of shit.
You fucking wasteoid. Fuck you.
I hope actual like bitter Neil starts calling into the bike and just starts fucking.
Oh, you got to do that, man. You got to do. Nobody right. would get it, though. Like people get who God is, obviously. But
you know. That's ridiculous. Well, I faded out and then maybe I faded back in for this.
Yeah, you faded back in for this.
Oh, you guys can't even get a fucking fade right.
Like a real 70s album, right? Yeah, they fade out. And that's right. And then it's like they slowly come back in.
You know, oh, now you're like, going to pretend like you
McRib sucks anyway.
Hashu, fuck you.
Well, I mean, maybe there was supposed to be a time fades away too. That would be.
We call them long grain. Okay. Get it.
Called time fades back in.
What?
Time fades back. This is
why is anyone
this is dad?
Wow, that was a super dad joke.
Yeah,
super dad joke.
Oh, really? You're gonna criticize
like
that?
Modern Family dad.
Why don't you go have a fucking slice of time fades away pizza? You
that was brilliant. That was brilliant, Luke.
You know what? I'm gonna call
that
this
was
episode
the funniest thing on this.
Hey,
whole
McRib,
episode.
Shut the fuck up. You know what? I'm gonna call this episode. I'm gonna call it Tuska Losers. Fuck you.
All right, let's end this. We devolve anymore.
That was no. You got to end it on Tuska Losers.
All right, fine. I'll end it on Tuska Losers.
Thanks for listening, you freaks.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're still listening to this crap.
Yeah, I hope
that
we're awesome. Fuck you guys. We're
100%
awesome.
100% fun.
I hope everyone goes
thanks
to bed tonight
to everybody
and
for
hears a tiny Neil on their shoulder criticizing therapy. That's really the goal.
Two tiny Neils on the shoulder. That's all we want.
I'm tiny Neil.
I'm two tiny Neils.
All right, see you guys.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.